Music from different cultures can sound extremely different. For instance, a Scottish ballad might not have very much in common with an Australian healing song, by the sound of it. But is there something intrinsically in music that crosses cultural divides and can tell us what the music was originally intended for?
My name is Samuel Mayer. I'm a cognitive scientist at Harvard, where I direct the music lab in the Department of Psychology. We started by working with a project called the Natural History of Song Project, and that's a project where we're basically taking modern techniques from the cognitive sciences, from data science, from a few other fields, to try and systematically characterize different features of music and musical behavior from around the world. So basically, we took this data set that we had built for this bigger project, which is a systematically built collection of four different kinds of songs from 86 small-scale societies around the world. There are dance songs, lullabies, healing songs, and love songs. So we took this sample. We've got 118 different songs split across those genres. We randomly selected a very short snippet of each song, 14 seconds long. And then we took all those snippets and we played them to people all over the world, people who lived in 60 different countries and who were recruited on the internet. All we did is, for each little excerpt that they listened to, we asked them a series of questions. We said, tell us if you think that the singers definitely do not use the song for such and such, or definitely use the song for such and such. And in these questions, such and such was something like, use the song for dancing, or use the song to soothe an infant, or to heal illness. So the question is, can these naive listeners on the internet who've never heard these songs, they don't know anything about these cultures, can they tell what a song is for, what its function is, on the basis of its musical forms, what, you know, what's actually there in the recording?
My name is Manveer Singh. I'm a PhD student in human evolutionary biology, also at Harvard University. What we found was that people seem to be very, very good at identifying dance songs. The effect for people rating dance songs as being used for dancing compared to other songs was huge. People are also really good at identifying lullabies. People are okay at identifying healing songs, so there was an effect, but that was smaller than the effects that we saw for dance songs and lullabies. And then we found that people are actually not able to identify love songs. And kind of relatedly, we also asked two extra questions on the side. So is it used for mourning the dead, and is it used for telling a story? And interestingly, people rated healing songs as especially high on the dimension mourning the dead. And although they couldn't recognize love songs as being used to communicate love, they did rate love songs as especially high on the dimension being used to tell a story, which is kind of an interesting finding that maybe has implications for what love songs are and how they do communicate love.
There was pretty much strong agreement among experts in the field that we were not going to find the things that we did actually find in the study. It was the sort of standard view was, you know, music is culturally produced. It doesn't have things in common with one another across cultures. You know, each culture has their own really interesting, unique, you know, musical idiom on the world. And our study is not saying that that's wrong. Our study is saying that even though it's really clear that from culture to culture, there's incredible variation and really, you know, insane differences in how dance songs are used and what they sound like, and there's all sorts of differences, underlying all of that really interesting variance is the simple fact that these songs are all produced by human minds, and human minds have features in common with one another. Just because there's a lot of really interesting variance doesn't necessarily mean that cultures don't have things in common with one another.
We definitely don't know from our study why there are dance songs and why there are lullabies. But one thing we do know is that people around the world respond to a certain string of musical stimuli in a similar way. People around the world have minds that when they hear some certain kind of stimulus, want to dance. They want to kind of move their body. And similarly, people around the world have minds that respond to a very, very different kind of sound by being calmed and falling asleep. Why humans have those minds is an open question, but our study at least kind of pushes us forward in showing us that we do seem to have those minds. And kind of relatedly and much more weird, people have seem to have minds that, in response to certain kinds of musical stimuli, seem to think they're being healed spiritually, which is a much more kind of bizarre and fun question.
And the music used in that piece was from Scotland, Rwanda, Micronesia, the Andes, Ecuador, and Eastern Africa. But could you tell what they were used for? Speaking there were Sam Mir and Manveer Singh, both at Harvard University. Their study was published in Current Biology, and the piece was put together by Georgia Mills.
And if you'd like to follow up on any of the stories that we've been discussing in the news this week, you can find the transcripts and the references for those stories and the rest of the show, actually, and in fact, every program we've ever made on our website. That's nakedscientist.com. Follow the links from podcasts, and it's all free.